We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Stuart Huff has been on the stand-up comedy circuit for the past 15 years. In that time, he's performed in comedy clubs around the country and the world, including the Improv in L.A. and New York. And he's been part of the HBO Las Vegas Festival, where his act can be viewed on pay-per-view. He also has three comedy CDs to his credit, including the latest, Stuart Huff, Probably.
Huff is in Milwaukee Saturday night to headline the Grand Comedy Show that's taking place at the Underground Collaborative, which is located in the Arcade Theater in the basement of the Grand Avenue Mall.
WUWM's comedy contributor Matt Kemple caught up with Huff while he was on tour in Canada.
I donated sperm to my sister and her partner so they could have a baby. Let's start here. They asked me to do it. It ain't like I just mailed it to them. Turns out it's common, or maybe not common, but becoming more common, you know, for a lesbian couple to ask a brother to be involved. Biologically, it's the closest they can come to having a kid, you know. And it will be my sister's wife who is pregnant, not my sister. I'm Kentucky, I ain't that.
So, Stuart, tell me, how long have you been in this crazy comedy career?
It's got to be close to 20 years.
Oh, wow. Where did you get your start?
In the South. I attempted to start in Atlanta, but it was so flooded and the stage time was not available. And there were so many people trying to be comics that it was really hard. So I ended up going to Chattanooga for more stage time, but it was almost exclusively in the South.
Your style is this storytelling aspect. You have a lot of fantastic stories that come from your life, and that's one thing that makes you such a great comic is your jokes are just so original. Have you always gravitated towards that storytelling style?
I think this is the way I've always tried to do it, but it's difficult. It's a difficult way to do comedy, I think. So when I was very young, I was attempting it and failing. I ended up just telling jokes just to learn how to tell a joke, but it never was my style. Eventually, I kind of got comfortable and then was able to try to learn how to construct a story, a 7-8 minute story. How do you put that together and keep people's interest and move from point to point? That's just a more difficult way when you're brand new than just walking up there and telling a joke.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if, you know, you go to an open mic and you only get, say, in some communities, it's 3 minutes, in other communities, it's 5 minutes. So, you know, like you said, you have a 7-8 minute story. It can be kind of difficult mathematically just to even get that out to work on it.
Yeah, it's funny because when a lot of people they'll call and they'll say, do you want to be part of this festival or whatever, which is very nice. And then, but my question is not how much money I'm going to make. My question is, how much time do I get?
Right. You seem obsessed with the impossible. It's like, what's the most unfunny thing I can think of that I'm interested in? Great. Let's make it funny. Was there anybody that really influenced you as far as other comics?
I always liked listening to George Carlin. I listened to Carlin when I was in high school. Richard Pryor. I also got into Woody Allen's comedy. I loved Bob Newhart. When I walked into a comedy club for the very first time, I had a head full of Lenny Bruce, Bob Newhart, Nichols and May, all these people from the 50s and 60s. I had no concept of modern comedy. I still don't really listen to new comedy. I just don't. You know, when I was in high school buying used records in a junk shop, they were $1 a piece. You know, a new Eddie Murphy CD cost $13. So I bought Dick Gregory instead of Eddie Murphy, you know, because I only had $1. What influences me now as far as what I'm going to talk about on stage, I think my brain works in a philosophy kind of way. When I read or see something interesting, something that piques my interest, all of a sudden I can't stop thinking about it and I start trying to figure it out. Why are people acting like this? What's causing it? I know as soon as I'm thinking about something, not on purpose, I just can't let it go. I'm going to talk about it on stage. It's going to come out.
What defines us? That's what I've been thinking about a lot lately. What makes you and I different than all the other animals? What is different about our brain? I'm not even saying we're better, but I don't think there's any argument that we're different. My biology teacher in school in Kentucky told me that we evolved beyond the other animals because we have opposable thumbs. Does that sound weird to you guys, first time you heard it? I remember thinking, really? this? Like, this is what makes me smarter than a possum? Just seems stupid, doesn't it? Still to this day, I don't believe this is the main reason. I'm going to make another argument tonight, see if you guys agree. Curiosity. I believe that's the major difference between our brains and other animal brains. You and I are extremely curious little creatures. We've categorized every single item we've ever found on this planet, every rock, every cloud, every tree. We have different categories of Bigfoots, and we haven't even found one yet. Charles Darwin married his cousin. His first cousin, Charles Darwin, probably the only man alive at the time who should have known better.
We've kind of bowled this whole word controversial or offensive. We've kind of bowled the whole concept down to the F word. You know, like people will say, do you use the F word? I do. But I don't need to. I can offend you without it.
Exactly.
You know, I don't need, there are a lot of offensive comics to me. There are comedians I watch that I'm offended by. I'm offended by their lack of work. I'm offended by what they've brought up on stage. I'm offended by that they are talking down to me like I'm a child. You know, that's what offends me. But here's a thing, and I don't know if I'm right about this, Matt, or not. I really don't. But I kind of think that if I go up on stage in a black box theater and I'm doing my type of material, which is interesting philosophy-based, you know, I lean left issues and all that. Okay, and I'm in front of people that look like me, think like me, and dress like me. Well, you know, I have – that's just, we're all kind of having a good time. I take that material, I do not change a word of it, and I go to a room that hates it. Well, the friction between their hatred and my stubbornness is eventually going to hone that material. A bit like, donating sperm to my sister's wife. That was honed and worked on in plenty of anti-gay venues, places where they actually yelled at me, you know, in offensive words to me. People came up to me after the show and told me horrible things about my sister and what they hope happens to her, and I shouldn't have done that and this and that, and they're going to go to hell and all this other stuff. And I'm so stubborn, Matt, that I never gave up on it, and I kept honing it to the point where now in those rooms, that material will work with those people. So my goal is to get my material funny enough to make people that don't agree with it still laugh. That can only be done if I venture into those rooms. Half of my schedule, at least, maybe more, I'm walking through the front door, and in my head, I'm thinking, this isn't going to work. My material is not going to work tonight. But it's going to be better tomorrow than it is today. Does that make any sense?
That makes a huge amount of sense to me. The satisfaction of being able to take a room like that and get them on your side is, you know, priceless.
I'll tell you a quick story about that. I don't think I'll ever be able to forget this. I was in a room, you know, there was this man near the front, very large man, and I mean like defensive lineman kind of guy. Big, big man all over, tall, wide, huge guy, shaved head. He was very angry at me. I did not say anything directly to him, but I could tell I'm on stage. I'm looking at him, and I know he's getting madder and madder the more I talk. At the time I was doing a piece about some people had said to me that Hispanics, they should get out of the country. And I always say to them, why? Why do you feel that way? And I'd had multiple people say to me, because they're dirty. And I thought, that's such a bizarre reason. And so then I would ask them, how exactly are they dirty? And the answer was always the same. And this is what interests me. This is the reason I started talking about it on stage. I would say, how are they dirty? And they would say, well, there's like 12 or 15 of them living in one apartment. So I thought, what a strange way of thinking. That doesn't make any sense at all. So I started talking about it on stage. So the piece I did that night, I set that up, that people had said to me they're dirty. There's like 15 of them living in one apartment. And then I told the audience, I said, I don't call that dirty. I call that taking care of each other. And then I challenged the audience. I said, has anybody in this room ever seen a homeless Hispanic person? And I just let that sentence sit there for a good second or two. And this guy up front that was so mad at me, huge guy, he hit the table. He pounded his fist on the table and he goes, damn it, you're right.
Whoa, that is not what I thought you were going to say.
I know. I know. And my heart was beating like a rabbit when he did it. And then he wasn't happy, but he said, damn it, you're right. And he came up to me after the show with his girlfriend or his wife. I'm not sure what their relationship was. And he walked straight up to me and I was scared, man. And he goes, I don't like what you said, but you said some good things and you said them well. All right. And he walked away. And then I heard the woman he was with goes, good job, honey.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. I mean, there's a lot of different directions that could have gone, and based on how you approach that subject on stage, you could have very easily alienated yourself more and more.
Something like that happens, then all of a sudden, the work you put in, the dedication, the obsessiveness, the fact that you can't stop thinking about the material when you're in the shower or you can't sleep at night. Something like that happens, and then all the reward comes in. I know I didn't change that guy's mind, but I made him think about something from a different perspective.
Well, I'm definitely excited to have you come to Milwaukee and present some powerful comedy, as it might be said. I really appreciate your taking time out of your busy Canadian schedule to chat with us.
I really appreciate you having me on, because this type of radio is interesting to me. It's the only thing I really listen to. And I don't want to go on the radio and just tell some little jokes and then give away some tickets.
Thank you. I not mention our giant ticket giveaway with rubber chickens? Did I not? Well, thank you again. I really look forward to the show and excited to have you here in Milwaukee. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
Comedian Stuart Huff headlines the Underground Collaborative's The Grand Comedy Show Saturday evening in Milwaukee.
The show takes place in the Arcade Theater located in the basement of the Grand Avenue Mall. Huff spoke with WUWM comedy contributor Matt Keppel.
We'll take one last break, and then our storytelling series Exfabula comes your way. You are listening to Lake Effect Weekend on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.